Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Veterans Day live in L.A. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1 1 hour from now on a Monday. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both on a Monday. Packed today. To be the show of the week. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day. Thanks so much for everybody. Guys at Fox did a great job yesterday. Terry, Kurt, Howie, Jay, Strahan. It was just an amazing show. Jimmy Johnson was great yesterday up at West Point. I want to start with this. Not all losses are bad losses. That was a great loss for the Cowboys last night, and I'll explain why. There's this sense with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, we're pretty good. We can win a division here. But there's this ceiling thing. And okay, we can win a division. Maybe we can win a home playoff game, but we just can't win multiple. We can't get to Super Bowls. We can't get to NFC championships. What in the world is our ceiling? And last night, in front of the owner, in front of you and me in America on Sunday Night Football, it was established what the ceiling is. The ceiling is the coach, Jason Garrett. Pay Dak. He is not the problem. He was excellent last night. Darts, athletic, cool, calm, nerves of steel. When you face excellence in life, in any business, doesn't matter if it's law or landscaping, when you face excellence, it creates clarity. Because average people get exposed. Average lawyers, average educators, average coaches, average quarterbacks, average salespeople get exposed against great. And Minnesota is, that's the best roster in the NFL. I mean, seriously, two tight ends, two receivers, Dalvin Cook, defensive front. Dak didn't get exposed. Dak was great. Dak is getting better. Dak, if you wake up this morning, you're a Cowboy fan, you're like, totally controlled the line of scrimmage. Spotting guys, changing plays, poised, athletic, accurate, moving with no running game. But Jason Garrett against excellence. Last year against the Rams in the playoffs. Never adjusted. Last night, cruddy play calling late. The Vikings, they're running screens. You may want to work on it. Minnesota came in with a game plan, did the same game plan for 3.5 hours. Didn't change anything. They never put any heat on Kirk Cousins. They literally controlled Kirk Cousins. The Minnesota staff's like, we got a lead. We come out. Once again, Dallas has a bad game plan, falls behind. Dak with no running game. You wake up this morning. Think about this. You wake up this morning as a Cowboy fan. And weren't you watching that game last night? And when Dallas was coming back and they handed the ball to Zeke at the end of the game, you were thinking this. The hell are you doing? Dak's on fire. What are you taking the ball to Dak's hands for? You have never felt that before. You've been convincing yourself for the last 3 years this is Zeke's team. And I've never bought into that. I said it when Zeke was holding out. This is Dak's team. Dak isn't as refined early in his career as Zeke. Zeke walks into this league and was great day one. It happens. Dak wasn't. Dak needed the line. Dak needed to grow. Frankly, it's harder to play quarterback in this league than running back. Dak needed time. Now he's been given time. You watched that game last night. As a Cowboy fan, you were furious when they took the ball out of Dak's hands. You were not 2 years ago. I'm not sure you were last year. This is Dak's team. And last night, we established Dak's not the problem. That's a franchise quarterback. Directing traffic, calling plays, nerves of steel, no running game, from behind against an excellent coach, an excellent defensive coach, Mike Zimmer. So that's as good as you can feel off a loss. And oh, by the way, the other thing that is, you know, Tom Brady has spent 19 years deflecting problems. It's a gift, by the way. It is a gift if you run a company or run a football team to go to the podium after tough Sundays and always say the right thing. The best I've ever seen at it is Tom Brady. Dak, maybe second best. Here's what he said about the play calling, which was terrible.
Second and third down calls, you went two straight runs, and you guys had it going so well with the passing game. Did you kind of take the ball out of your hands there?
I mean, you got to go back and look at the situation, right? You don't want to leave too much time on the clock for them. So I'm not going to question the play calling. There were opportunities. We've just got to do better and execute those plays. Simple as that. And every guy in that locker room would say that.
That's as good as you can do the microphone. That's as good as you can do. That's what Tom Brady's been doing for 18 years. And in Dallas, is there a bigger position in American sports than Dallas Cowboy quarterback? Let's start with no and work from there. I thought last night, I left that game and I was like, you know. And you know, it's funny about Dak. I said on Friday, he's better than Kirk Cousins. The gap is much bigger. Much, much bigger. And I'll get to that in about 10 minutes than I even thought. Let's shift to this. Patrick Mahomes is remarkable. That's been established. Some things in life have been established. Cigarettes are bad for you. Rush Limbaugh is conservative. We have established these things. Years ago, we established Aaron Rodgers was amazing. But we also, as we established Patrick Mahomes is amazing, can we now acknowledge the Kansas City Chiefs with Mahomes are becoming Aaron Rodgers Packers or LeBron James Cavaliers the first time? Okay, Patrick, you go be amazing. If you're not, we're going to lose. And even if you are, we'll mostly win, but we can't guarantee you'll be able to beat Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. Kansas City's reality is they can't stop the run, and they don't run enough. They're 31st in stopping the run, and they're bottom five in run attempts. That's their reality. And Patrick Mahomes has lost three of his last four starts. That's their reality. Okay, it's been established. He's absurdly filthy talented. I get it. And I kept saying that about Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I get it. But you want a special quarterback. Nobody would dispute that. You want special. But it can't be your only identity. That was the Packers' problem from like 2011 to 2018. Is that Aaron's great. That mostly wins. If he's not, we're doomed. And if he is, hopefully he has the ball late and the defense isn't giving less talented quarterback the win. Ryan Tannehill just beat Patrick Mahomes. It felt like some of those Green Bay losses. You'll say, well, but Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. Yeah, but didn't we always say the same thing about that? They left a lot of meat on that bone. Shouldn't they have had like two Super Bowls, three? How come Aaron's only got one? And maybe Kansas City and Mahomes sneak and get one. And we're going to be like 10 years in. That's it. I mean, this is the thing. Again, you want special at quarterback, but it can't be your only identity. Lamar Jackson, special. Great coach. Great running game. Improving defense. Tom Brady has never, ever, ever been the sole identity of Tampa Bay, of New England. Brady's never been the sole identity. In fact, the first 5 years, first couple of Super Bowls, he was a system quarterback. By the way, Russell Wilson is unbelievable. But in those Super Bowl years, he was just trying to be a tiny part of Seattle's identity. It was Marshawn Lynch. It was the Legion of Doom. It was Pete Carroll. He's like, hey, what about me? Mahomes is Kansas City's identity. You can't do that in this league. I don't care how great you are. We watched it with Aaron Rodgers. They couldn't run with Aaron. They couldn't make stops with Aaron Rodgers. Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. I mean, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo, you're going to watch him tonight. It's terrific. But the identity is the defensive line. And then Kyle Shanahan. And then their fullback-led running game. And they got a lot of identities. And about three times a year, San Francisco is going to ask Jimmy Garoppolo, bruh, defense is, we got injuries over here and we can't run the football. Win it for us. Like Kansas City, you can just sense what's happening. It's the 2011 Packers to the 2018 Packers. It's too Mahomes-centric. He's losing starts now to inferior quarterbacks. And never forget this. When Brady, and remember with the Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Brady teams, they were setting all the records. Those teams never won Super Bowls. Kansas City right now is set up to win Mahomes MVP awards. They're not set up to win Super Bowl. So what do you want? And I think the answer is obvious. It's been established. Mahomes is absurd. He's going to make $40 million, which he deserves it. But if you think he's carrying the team now, what happens when you got to get rid of Tyreek Hill or a right tackle or your second best corner? I just think they can't stop the run. They don't run enough. And they feel very much like LeBron in Cleveland first time. And even the second time where you're like, one title, that's all I get? I should get more. Kyrie and LeBron and Kevin Love, and I get one title, and that's it. They won two in Miami and almost three. I like Kansas City. Fun to watch. But it feels like to me they're set up to get the quarterback MVPs and not rings.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking about this, Joy, Friday, is that when you do a list of quarterbacks, you get about 12, 13 in the league, and I come and I like Dak and then Kirk Cousins. But after watching last night, stats can be very deceiving. The gap between Dak and Kirk Cousins is actually fairly significant. Dak is several steps ahead. My bad. I thought they were like right next to each other. And I'll give you an example. If you look at the stats last night, you're like, oh, man, look at Kirk Cousins. There was never a moment in that football game. No reasonable person watched that football game, and as you're watching Minnesota's offense, you're thinking, man, Kirk Cousins is controlling the Cowboys. You are saying, Dalvin Cook is a beast. Kyle Rudolph, guy, forget how good he is. Stephon Diggs, man, they got a lot of talent. Okay, 23 of 32, 111 passer rating, no picks, two touchdowns. You're looking at him, and you're like, oh, man, what a night. But after a very good game plan gets him a 14-0 lead, Kirk Cousins made a series of throws on play action because the running game was so good and had been established, and he's leading in the game, so he was never uncomfortable. They rolled him out, a lot of screen stuff, play action throws, very comfortable. Everybody in this league looks good like that. Dak trailed 14-0. Minnesota's pass rushers pinned their ears back. He had no run support. He was making incredible throws. I think half his throws to Amari Cooper are out of bounds. They're so perfectly timed. They were asking Dak to throw trailing, throw against a better defense, throw with no running game, control a defense that could pin its ears back. Dak's stats. He didn't get a throw on play action because nobody, it had been established early. Dallas couldn't run the ball. So I, as a linebacker, I don't have to drop. I don't have to come up and cheat. You're not running the football. Dallas linebackers had to cheat all night because Dalvin Cook is so great. So, you know, again, once again, Dak has to overcome what I view as a subpar opening game plan. No running game. Not as many play action throws. Much more difficult throws. Having to run a little bit more out of necessity, not game planning. I think the gap between Dak and Kirk Cousins. Now, I'm not saying Kirk Cousins doesn't deserve respect for following through with a conservative game plan once he gets a lead. I'm not saying that. Kirk was not poor. But don't just look at numbers on this. Go look at what the quarterbacks were asked to do. One leads, one trails. One has a great running game, one doesn't. One's running for his life out of necessity. One is rolling out because it's game planned. I thought Dak was spectacular. I thought Kirk Cousins managed the game really well with a couple of nice throws. Never really pushed, never uncomfortable. I mean, you know, it's quarterback in the NFL. It's uncomfortable for everybody at some point, except, I guess, Lamar Jackson, who's a magician. But, you know, it's a hard position to play. But if you look at Dak's numbers, 28-46, 400 yards, three touchdowns, two receivers had over 100 yards. Here's something to remember. Dak completed 21 balls to wide receivers. Kirk Cousins, 6. I don't want to hear about the stats, and I don't want to hear about who won the game. Dak, Kirk Cousins. And it's not as close as I said it was Friday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Sometimes in your life, there are just simply new realities. I live in California. Our gas is $4.50 a gallon. I can complain about it. That's my new reality. If I don't want to spend a lot of money on gas, I got to drive, I got to hitchhike, I got to walk. But that's my new reality. Going to an airport now, lines are longer, economy's good, more people are flying, security measures have been heightened over the last 10 years. The new reality, you can complain about it all you want, but the new reality is get to an airport earlier. So I'm watching Tua and Joe Burrows on Saturday, but specifically Tua. I'm watching Sam Darnold yesterday. I'm watching Kyler Murray. I'm watching Lamar Jackson. And I'm watching Dak last night. The new reality is we've got to stop treating quarterback like an either or. Either you've got a pocket guy or I've got a mobile athlete. I want both. I'm not interested in statues. We have a new reality in this league, and you're really seeing it this weekend. Outside of the Dallas Cowboys, there are very few elite offensive lines, and the Cowboys drafted their offensive line from places like LSU, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, power running teams. And a lot of those offensive linemen have been in the league 7 years. College football is no longer a power running. LSU throws the ball over the field. Alabama throws the ball over the field. Clemson, these are traditional power running. They're throwing the ball over the field. And because of that, the offensive linemen in college football now are all in these spread offenses. They're not road graders. So offensive line play is deteriorating badly in this league. And we thought the Rams had a good O-line 2 years ago. It's a mess. I mean, there's Dallas and there's everybody else. And I'm watching old Phillip Rivers Thursday night. I'm watching Jared Goff. I'm watching Breeze. And those guys, I mean, if they don't have an offensive line, they're not the same player. Being elusive now, I'm watching Sam Darnold yesterday. The Jets' offensive line is a tragedy. He is just making stuff happen out of nothing. Now, Lamar Jackson played against Cincinnati, but, I mean, Darnold was spectacular. Kyler Murray yesterday, running for his life. That game is a blowout without Kyler Murray. I am blown away by him. And Darnold and Kyler Murray, Darnold's numbers, if you didn't watch that game, you have no understanding of it. Even his best plays, running for his life. Kyler Murray got jobbed at the end of that game. There was a pass interference they didn't call. Arizona should have had a chance to win that game late. I'm not even looking for either or anymore. If my pocket guy can't move, I'm out. And, I mean, you watch the Chargers and you're like, that doesn't work anymore. And it's easy to say you're overreacting. I don't think I am. Now, I still like Jared Goff. But because they spent so much money on Todd Gurley early and Goff and Brandon Cooks and Jalen Ramsey very soon, they're not going to be able to have an elite offensive line. And so I'm watching that Saturday LSU-Bama game, and I'm like, Joe Burrows, yeah, the throwing part's great. But the fact that he's an all-state basketball player and he can move around, I'm like, Washington's got a great quarterback. He can't move. You got to be able to move now. We have a new reality in the NFL. Offensive line play stinks. And the Cowboys is the exception, and they got their guys mostly from power-running football teams that don't mostly exist in college football. When LSU Bama get into a shootout, college football's officially changed. Nick Saban can't stop anybody now with a good quarterback. He can't stop anybody. So that's one thing. And by the way, ask yourself this. What's easier to do? Fix your offensive line with 5 guys or just draft a kid that can move around a little bit and teach him like Lamar and Dak. Okay, I need you to be a little more of a pocket guy because I saw Dak in college. I thought he was Tebow with a better arm. Dak's getting better. We're gonna give you the weapons. We're going to run the football a little bit. It's like social media. Stay current or you disappear. You got to stay current. And I'm seeing an NFL league right now. Darnold and Kyler Murray yesterday were sensational.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So we do it on Monday. I have strong opinions. That's what I do. But I think I have to hold myself accountable. And so we call it Colin Right, Colin Wrong over the last week or two. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Ian Rappaport reports Cam Newton is likely to be traded from Carolina, and we call this one. They've got a new owner. They want a new direction. Cam had lost 8-9 straight starts. he feels distracted. Injuries have piled up. I don't think Kyle Allen's a special quarterback talent. I think he's a very good transitional quarterback. You could possibly win a division if you're not paying Kyle Allen anything and can surround him with the right pieces. But as the injuries have piled up, and he is not a precision thrower, and the league often demands it. Now, I will say the good news for Cam is if Patrick Mahomes makes 40, he's going to make about 25. There's a bargain value here for some lousy teams. But this feels like the new owner sort of doesn't care about the past. Too inconsistent, too hurt. They're moving off Cam.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mike Tomlin, if they make the playoffs, does he get coach of the year? No AB, no Le'Veon Bell, no Big Ben. I bailed on him. I said season's over, not interested. They have done an unbelievable job. They have an identity. And their front seven defensively, this organization can flat out draft people. Mason Rudolph, not my cup of tea, but I thought yesterday on third down and situationally, he was very good. Mike Tomlin deserves, and I've been critical of him, that he's too emotional. His teams can be, dumb penalties and not buttoned up. This may be his best coaching job. How many people can he lose? I mean, and by the way, even the best part of his team, defense, it's a bunch of kids. The front seven's just a bunch of kids. And right now they'd be the second wild card team in the AFC. Good for Mike Tomlin.
Where Colin was right.
But I did love when the Steelers went and got Minkah Fitzpatrick for a first rounder, and they got a lot of heat. People said, well, Big Ben's hurt. You need that first round pick to get a quarterback. And I said, no. A, Minkah Fitzpatrick is great. B, he plays a position they've been trying to fill for years. And C, this franchise has always been about playmaking defensive guys. And Minkah Fitzpatrick has more touchdowns than Odell Beckham this year. And you have no guarantees in the first round what you're going to get. I mean, a third of the first round either busts or underachieves. He's a remarkable player. He fits their culture. He's going to get paid and should get paid. And by the way, you're not paying any of the other young defensive players because you've drafted so well. The rest of them are on the cheap. So you got to pay somebody. And I would pay Big Ben. I'd pay my offensive line. And I'd pay Minkah Fitzpatrick. We love the deal. I have no problem giving up a first-round pick if I get a guy that fits my culture, makes plays, and is unbelievable, and he's all of them.
Where Colin was wrong.
Wow, did I miss on LSU-Bama. Nick Saban against Ed Orgeron off a bye. First of all, LSU was better early, better middle, and better late. And LSU now is not only throwing the ball, but they're a hyper-aggressive passing offense. Saban off a bye was completely overwhelmed, and this is becoming a trend for Nick Saban. 6 weeks to prepare for Clemson, doesn't matter. Off a bye against LSU, when he faces a Trevor Lawrence or a Deshaun Watson or a Joe Burrow, who's a first-round quarterback, the game has changed. Alabama can't stop him. Joe Burrow got himself a Heisman and got himself a top-10 pick. And Ed Orgeron, let me tell you something. There is not a college coach in America that feels more like his school than Ed Orgeron feels with Louisiana and LSU. He will never leave LSU, ever, at least on his accord. I was totally wrong on that game. LSU used to be great but boring. They're a blast to watch now.
Where Colin was right.
Told you 3 weeks ago, I said that Eagle-Cowboy game, it's not the end of the world. Philadelphia's going to be fine with a loss, and Dallas hasn't secured anything with a win. Here we are 3 weeks later, and they're tied at the top of the NFC East. Listen, Dallas isn't great enough to pull away, and Philadelphia is too good to be blown away. They're both, I think Dallas is, to be honest with you, DeSean Jackson's done for the year, so I'm more on the Dallas side now than I'm on the Philadelphia side. But neither team is great enough to pull away from the other. I don't think either is San Francisco. I don't think either is really New Orleans, despite what you saw yesterday. So we said this. Philadelphia and Dallas are going to week 16 and week 17. If you look at their schedule, Philadelphia's now got New England. They'll probably lose that. Dallas has Detroit, so Dallas will probably pull ahead by a game. But if you look at the schedules, this thing was never over when they met 3 weeks ago, and it's not going to be over after this weekend.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I like Jared Goff, but he and McVay, we got to put it on pause here. Because of what they've paid in Los Angeles and what they're going to pay for Jalen Ramsey, they got offensive line issues. Goff is not athletic enough to overcome a bad interior offensive line and no running game. He looks vulnerable. At times, he looks overwhelmed. He made several horrible throws yesterday, and they're locked in on him. Now, I do believe if you give him protection, his prototype is Matt Ryan. I think he actually throws a better deep ball than Matt Ryan. I think he's talented. I don't think suddenly he's terrible. But I've been high on Jared Goff, and he's been exposed as their offensive line issues have come to the forefront.
Where Colin was right.
The Titans are now 3-1 after moving off Marcus Mariota, who to me was hurt too much and had an incredibly low ceiling and is a nonverbal guy at a verbal position. Listen, Ryan Tannehill is just better than we all think. You know, Ryan Tannehill's career record in the league is 45-47, and that's with a lot of chaos in Miami. This franchise kept trying to convince itself they could just squeeze a little more offense out of Marcus Mariota, and it's like, no, Ryan Tannehill's better. Ryan Tannehill's a better player than yesterday you saw it. By the way, three of the four games he's led them, Tannehill has, on a game-winning drive. By the way, you're not getting less athleticism. Tannehill's a very good athlete. He was a receiver in college. So he's a real big-time athlete. He gives you mobility. He's got one big injury. He doesn't get hurt a lot. He's a very good player, and the Titans should have moved off this. I mean, I think I said this on the show. If I'd had Tannehill and Mariota in camp, I'd have just gone with Tannehill. I mean, you'd given Mariota all the time you had to. What did he have to show you? Tannehill's the better player, and we've seen it.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was like the rest of the media dummies, where when John Gruden traded Khalil Mack, I said, that's a terrible move. Because my theory is, you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. You can't get rid of your only pass rusher. But you know what? I got to give Gruden credit. He had a plan. He's hit on his draft picks. Khalil Mack, I don't think, was in love with the Gruden situation. And Gruden probably thought, all right, I got to get guys who buy into my thing. And he's done a very good job offensively. They've hit on their running back. They hit on their tight end. Almost all their offensive pieces. Richie Incognito, their free agents, their draft picks. And in the end, they don't have a pass rush. And we don't think they're a Super Bowl team. But they wouldn't have been a Super Bowl team with Khalil Mack and without Josh Jacobs, the running back, who they got because of the trade. So, at the end of the day, Chicago got a great player. But Oakland got great players who are young and cheap, and I think the Gruden thing's working. I was a little too hyperbolic, and I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
And I said this a couple weeks ago. You can be winless and well-coached. If you are tanking, Miami Dolphins were winless. And I said, no, don't tell me they're not well-coached. They're just winless. There's a difference. Does any team in the league, how many games have they let in? Their game plans are great. They don't, they have a roster mostly of backups and average guys, but this is a well-coached team that plays its butt off, that takes leads in a lot of games, that goes on the road. Miami teams you never trust on the road in November. They totally buy into Brian Flores. I think we found the Belichick guy who's going to work. They play hard. They have absolute limitations offensively, but this idea that you can have a team that's losing, but they're not well-coached. Listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we got a ceiling here. That offensive line, we got a ceiling here. Defensively, they need more players. But we said it a few weeks ago when they were winless. That team has a direction. They're playing with a porpoise. I know, bad joke, but it's ours. And frankly, they're in all these games. They took a lead on Dallas. I mean, they're in games. They just run out of gas.
Where Colin was wrong.
Lamar Jackson. Listen, I said he was draftable. I just said the passing thing is going to be more, it's going to take time. Let him run around as he figures out passing. He's just better earlier than I thought. I said before the draft, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are projects. Josh Allen is a project. Lamar Jackson's really good. And he's getting better at the pass thing. I thought he was a little last year, and you're like, yeah, there's some limitations here. No, not really. He throws it well. He's comfortable as heck. And they've done a great job to put the right people around him. But, I said Lamar Jackson was draftable. To me, Baker Mayfield, not my cup of tea, is not draftable. Lamar is way better, way earlier than I thought. He also, in the offseason, put on weight. Totally coachable. The kid's fun. He's spectacular. And I still think I take Deshaun Watson over him. Let's not go crazy here. He's paid he's got about a season full of starts. But his growth is, if you can't see it, I can't help you. If you're not seeing how much better he's getting, it's sitting in that pocket and throwing the ball, there's nothing I can do for you. because he's really learning, and they remain one of the fun teams in the NFL to watch. All right, where Colin's right, where Colin is wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums, but I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He won his first playoff game. How about that? That is fantastic. A decade and a half in the NFL, my friend, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, Trent Dilfer via the Coward Global Satellite Network at Lipscomb Academy, head football coach. Now, you got one. Now, you're not Belichick yet. Don't go crazy. You got a playoff win. Don't go crazy yet. So let's start with this. There are, I think, average people get overwhelmed against excellent people, and I think Minnesota's excellent. And Dak against an excellent defense I thought was sensational last night. With no running game, not a lot of play-action stuff, he had to save their bacon. Jason Garrett, I didn't like the play calling, and I don't want to beat up on that. Didn't make adjustments. I thought Minnesota kind of did what they did, and they did it for 3.5 hours, the screen game. I think there was clarity last night for Dallas. If we're going to bark about the ceiling, I worry more about the coach than the quarterback. That's my takeaway from last night. Any of that you buy?
I completely buy the quarterback stuff. I, too, thought Dak was phenomenal. I thought he showed
the fullness of who he can be as an NFL quarterback. He showed all the talent stuff, the arm strength, the accuracy. He showed the creativeness. He showed the ability to extend plays, showed toughness, and go on and on and on. I'll push back on the Jason Garrett stuff. I think it's more a defensive staff thing. I think defensively, they haven't made adjustments since the playoffs last year where they got ran over. And it's the same schemes that keep beating them. It's the outside zone. It's a physical downhill ISO play off the outside zone. It's movement passed by the quarterback and his screens. And it's the same stuff over and over and over again that is getting this defense torched. They're a talented defense, but they're kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah,
they got to get upfield. They got to hit the quarterback. They got to create backfield pressure. But if you neutralize that, then they don't get a lot of stops. So, and I know Rod Marinelli really well, and I think he probably understands the same thing. And he's back on the drawing board today saying, until we can do that, until we can play the knockback game, not just the speed game, it's going to be a long season for that defense.
I want to talk about, so I don't want to overreact to this, but we have a new reality in our life where college football is doing a lot of spread, and the offensive linemen come into this league, and they're not the bulldozers they were even 7-8 years ago. Even LSU and Bama now is a shootout. I mean, that's when college football has changed. And I'm watching Darnold yesterday make plays, and Kyler Murray, and Lamar, and Dak, and Mahomes. And I think I used to be an either-or guy. You're a pocket guy, or you're a move guy. And I'm like, no, you got to be elusive now. Like, I can't have one or the other, or I think less of you. Am I overreacting to a crazy day of mobile quarterbacks yesterday?
No, I don't think so. We've been talking about this for 4, 5, 6 years now, that a couple things happened. And I'll just say 10 years ago. When I jumped into Elite 11 and the kind of the high school camp series, we saw two things that were starting to happen. Number one, offensive linemen were losing knockback. So because of spread, because of two-point stances, because tight ends not being attached next to the tackle, because more of a lateral run game, offensive linemen started losing that ability to knock you back. So we just call it knockback football. Low hat football has kind of disappeared from the offensive line play nationwide. Along on that time, we also saw a bunch of quarterbacks would be at these camps. Say from 6 years ago to 10 years ago, you'd show up, there'd be 50 quarterbacks at a camp. You know what they'd be? They'd be 6'3", they'd be lanky, a little uncoordinated, not the best athlete at the school, but they want to be a quarterback. Usually a rich dad, usually a good high school football coach, and that was kind of who your camp series was. Well, about 6, 5, 4 years ago, we start going to these camps. You know what you found? The best athlete at the school is playing quarterback. The best athlete. He's big. He's physical. He's fast. He's twitchy. He can throw. He's been trained well. He is the dude. He's the dude of dudes. And I think now what you're seeing in the NFL is an offensive line generation that isn't as physical. And you have the best athlete who's been trained to play quarterback all these years. And he's the guy with the football. And what you're going to get out of that is a more mobile, athletic guy, just a better athlete. But you're also going to get a really good quarterback,
yeah,
because he's had thousands of reps of playing quarterback from high school to college to now the NFL. And it's not going to change because guess what? We'll go back on the road this offseason. We'll see 750 quarterbacks, and 300 of them are going to be the best athlete at their school.
You know, I tonight it's San Francisco and Seattle, and that feels like the future of the NFC West, not the Rams. And I think McVay can coach, and I think Goff can throw. But this organization, it feels like when LeBron came into town, they said, you know what, from a business perspective, we got to pay some stars here. Their offensive line is, I'm sorry, Trent, it is a major, major problem. Does that, and not Goff and not McVay, is that explaining LA's problem now?
Yep, not having Brandon Cooks to kind of go beep, beep, create some space. Not having the physical run game. It's really all built off that and then be able to action pass off of it. So really what they've built this thing around is having a dude at receiver that has unique twitch, unique speed that can kind of create some fear. He's banged up. You have your back who's not the same. You have your offensive linemen that aren't executing kind of the foundation of what they want to do offensively in the run game. And then your quarterback, is his DNA is really kind of like Derek Carr. He'd rather stick it in the belly and put his back to the defense, turn around and pierce the defense. And well, now you have him dropping back 30-plus times a game in true drop-back pass with an offensive lineman that can't mask their flaws with play action, and it's a recipe for disaster. It's not what they want to be. It's not what Sean is best at coaching. It's not how they had their success. So they got to refine themselves, and it really has to be with creating more physicality on the offensive line, running the ball better, higher run volume numbers in the course of a game, so that you can get the most out of your quarterback.
Do you worry that Kansas City, I said this to start my show today, Kansas City is starting to feel like the 2011 to 2018 Green Bay Packers. Aaron had to be great to win. If he wasn't, they lost. And even when he was great, they would often get beat by inferior quarterbacks. Kansas City now doesn't run the ball. They can't stop it, and they don't run it. This thing feels a little derailed to me. Or is it just that Patrick's not 100%?
Oh, Patrick's fine. I mean, not even 100%. He was brilliant yesterday. I mean, he carried that team. I think you just want to make it very simple. Their defense isn't physical enough. You can't let any team get back into a game running the football. I mean, if you think now, Tannehill was great in the second half, but they really got back in that game running the football down your throats. And you got to be able to run the football. You can't make the quarterback's job that hard every single week, even when he's a generational talent. And we talked about this with Aaron. Aaron and Green Bay are better this year because Aaron's job isn't as hard. He didn't play that well yesterday, and Green Bay wins. I think Kansas City needs to take that approach with Patrick where, when you need him to be Superman, unlock Superman, let him put on the cape and go. But he shouldn't have to do it every single week. You should be able to win games on teams. You should be able to win games on defense. You should be able to win games running the football. It shouldn't be on the quarterback's shoulders every single week to be brilliant.
You know, it's interesting. At the end of that game with Green Bay, they got a break from the official. They came down and they went for it and ran the football. You would think Aaron Rodgers would always want to go for it. But I was sitting there thinking, is it possible that when you were quarterback that you're thinking, you know, we got a break from the officials. The snow's getting bad. I'll just take the field goal because it looks like winter's officially arrived in Lambeau and Carolina's got a good defense. What did you make of those situational calls with Green Bay going for it at the end of the half?
Well, I'll put it in context. I was never as good as Aaron, so he probably thinks differently than I do. But yeah, there's times, and I would assume Aaron and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes feel this way sometimes, that it's just better to take the points. It's just better to do the safe thing. And I'm a conservative guy by nature, so I always felt that way as the quarterback, was what's best for the football team. It doesn't have to be a macho thing. You know, it doesn't have to be put the ball in my hands all the time. I want the ball in my hands when it matters the most. But there's times when you just do the smart thing. Now, there's also that situation where you kind of smell blood in the water. You think you have your best play. You think you have the opportunity to strike, and you take that. So that's why I never get too caught up in those situations when coaches make decisions like that, because I see both sides of them, especially now as a high school football coach. I can feel what the fans want. I can feel what my other coaches want. But sometimes you just go with your gut, which what you think is best for your football team in that moment.
Elite 11 guy forever, played in the NFL, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl. Let me ask you a Tua question, a Joe Burrow question. Now, they're both going to get drafted very high. Burrow is a better athlete than people think, and Tua is a great thrower of the football. If I said to you today, you get one of them, which one do you pick?
Oh, I don't even think it's a conversation. I think Tua is the single best prospect I have ever studied in my years of doing it. He is so uniquely gifted in so many ways that I think he is head and shoulders better than Burrow and Herbert. Now, saying that, I think both Burrow and Herbert are very, very, very good and will be very good pros. I think this is going to go down as one of the better drafts in a long time for quarterbacks. But I think as you start talking to your people that are in the know, we're talking quarterback-type gurus, you're talking general managers that have been around a long time. You're talking about people that aren't just trying to create narratives for their own personal gain, which we know happens in draft season. Most people will kind of giggle at that question. Joe Burrow is a very good quarterback. Herbert is a very talented player. Both first-round picks, really good careers. Tua Tagovailoa has a chance to be a generational type talent in the NFL and go down as one of the better quarterbacks that's ever played in the NFL.
So funny to watch LSU be this progressive, aggressive, offensive passing attack, because my entire life they've just run downhill. And Ed Orgeron evolved and said, I got to get current and I got to pass, and they won a game and they dominated for most of it. Trent Dilfer, congrats. Now, you know, you got a playoff win. Don't go crazy. Don't. I want you to keep watching film. No mail-in days, okay?
Grinding away, trying to win the day and go 1-0 this week, baby.
All right. We got a next Belichick here. Congratulations, Trent Dilfer. Makes me very, very happy.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.